hello, hello. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christine, Marie, and Julie. How you doing, Christine?
Hi, Julie.
Hi, Christine.
How are you? Oh, my God, we said it at the same time.
That's crazy. Take off my earplug so I don't get confused when I'm hearing and all that stuff.
You can't multicast. You can't hear and talk at the same
time. No, because it's literally just a fragment of a second behind.
Oh.
And then I'm judging the way I sound, and everything sounds crazy. And, you know, I don't know. It's all crazy, girlfriend.
So how are you, girlfriend? We have officially entered here in Illinois, northwestern Illinois, the dog days of summer.
It's 100 degree temps.
Scary dog days.
Yeah,
we're
your certified law attraction coaches.
Oh, okay.
We're your prosperity guides. You're a psychotherapist, my former teacher, and getting my master's now.
I'm so happy for you.
I am,
too. It's been a long time coming, and I'm just so happy. But we finally, I say we as if it's my dealio, but you finally found the master's degree that was perfect.
Yes.
Perfect for who you are.
Very much so.
And that wasn't easy.
No, I mean,
it had to fit in all the right criteria.
For sure. And what I'm excited about, I can get it probably done. Well, they have it's a 2-year program.
Correct.
But they say if you work hard, you can get it done in a year.
And you're a hard worker.
I'm a hard worker. Because I'm like, well, I'll do it in a year.
So add that to your many list of things you're already doing.
Because then what happened is, because I start in September, I've got this huge list that must get done before September 1st.
Yeah, come on. It's just a motivator for
it. It is a motivator. And, you know, it's so funny because yesterday, we're going to jump right in, everyone. You know how it goes if you've been with us before. The first 20, 30 minutes, talk about us. And
it's
our
all
takeaway.
About us.
It is. And we go into our Elliot's Corner where we talk about our little dog, Elliot, and what we learn from him, right?
Yeah, I mean, everything you learn in life, you can learn from your doggy.
For sure. We got some other animal stories about it.
Because you know why? We're so expansive.
Yes.
We've now expanded Elliot's Corner to include animal stories.
And what we can take away from that and what we can learn from
it's
the
always
animals.
It's about a takeaway.
And then finally, we have our pillar talk. We're talking about the pillars of life. And that's really our more specific takeaway. Here's what we're learning today.
Yeah.
We hope that
and
can
And what are we
going to
talk about in the pillars today?
We're talk about a couple of things. One thing we're going to talk about is one of the cardinal virtues is I'd rather be kind than right. And what if you made that your philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to keep going deeper and deeper with our discussion about being in the gap.
Good.
Mastering the gap.
Good.
And that really is the gap between the invisible to the visible.
I know. Today you came in my room, you knocked on the door and said, Mama, I don't get the gap anymore. I'm too tired of the gap.
I'm too tired to get the gap.
I'm tired of the gap.
Well, here, I feel like today I'm in just this funk. For sure.
Funk or fog?
Funk. Our fog.
Funk.
Funk. Funk. But I feel in a funk because yesterday we had
Hillary's
baby shower. She's due September 1st.
Right.
And she just looks so cute. She's gained 26 pounds, she said.
Oh, my God. And on her, because she's like 80 pounds soaking wet.
Yeah. And so it looks great, you know. And she says, I don't see him having any more room to grow. So this baby needs to come out soon. I'm like, he's got room to grow. But it was a great shower. But what you realize is that people who are blessed continue to be blessed. I mean, you know, she left with a huge bounty of stuff.
You know, the better it gets, the better it gets.
Yeah, and you got to work with that philosophy.
There are about 80 people there? Or?
Well, she invited 75, and I think 45 people might have shown up. And
all I know is, girlfriend, our week was bacon cookies, bacon gluten-free cookies, bacon gluten-free cupcakes, baking regular cupcakes. I think you made like 400 cupcakes. I don't know.
Yes.
But when we unloaded at the church yesterday,
and I just want to say, right,
boatload
yeah,
of cupcakes.
Before we had a little technical difficulty there for a split second.
Okay.
So I just want to acknowledge that to the audience.
Okay.
Because I was messing with your mic a little bit because I was hearing a little feedback or seeing a little feedback. And
okay.
I'm like, oh. And I think I was turning you down when I want to be turning you up.
Oh.
So you might have been getting quieter, but now it's all good.
Okay. As long as you don't turn me off.
Well, no, I wouldn't do that intentionally. So if everybody's like, I think I heard Christine go lower. You're right. You did.
Mm-hmm.
But now she's back to being okay.
Okay. Now I'm back to normal.
And being strong and all that good stuff. And now we're equal and so forth. But yeah, our week was filled with just cookie baking. And I woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning on Saturday. And here's a problem with baking desserts.
You were hurting for certain by the time I was got there to the church.
Well, this morning I woke up and I thought I had a hangover.
Yeah.
And of course, today's Sunday. And, you know, we call this our church day. Clean the house up day. I'm at church all week long. And I go and pick up our woman who helps clean the house up, my motivator, I call her.
Yes.
Because we work together on it all. And but I woke up and I'm sore. And everybody knows I've been off of sugar, you know, but I have sugar like once a month. And I knew that I was in charge of baking cookies and cupcakes. So I knew that yesterday I was going to have sugar.
Right.
And so I think I'm having with, like, I think I feel effed up because of that.
Right.
Because I did have sugar.
Right.
I think I feel effed up because I was on my feet for 6 hours straight just baking.
Yeah.
And then it was hot out.
It was a dog day of summer. We've had them for like 4 days in a row now.
Yeah. And then afterwards you just go, oh my God, I have so much stuff left over.
Yeah.
And I made
You walked to the police station?
Yes. Gave
did
them
they,
some.
Did they appreciate it?
Yes.
They think you put razor blades in it.
I don't know if what they're going to do with it. But,
yeah, they're
you know.
Like, whatever, right?
Yes. Go in the circular there was pot. A little conflict with that. Doug came by to pick me up after the place, and I said, please just drive me to the police station, which is just literally across
It's just, yeah, right street. Across the street.
And he, so I can drop these off. And I want him to be in his car because I was hot. You know, it was literally 110
I know, honey.
Degrees
yeah,
index.
I know.
And my cupcakes are
fragile.
And cream cheese.
Cream cheese, yeah.
And he goes, let's just walk there. And I'm like, fine. And I'm like, then he wanted to, then before we got walking, it's outside, he wanted to tell his son-in-law's father how Quinn, his other daughter, hit his car with her car. And I'm like, if we're going to do this, give me the cupcakes. I will walk over there myself.
Right.
I don't want to spend 4 minutes talking to him.
Wow.
And so then he kept just saying, why are you so mad at me right now? I said, because all I wanted you to do was F and drive me across the street.
Right.
You know, like literally, it's not, it's catty corner. It's about
a. No, it's not like 10
across
steps.
Across the street.
Right.
It's catty corner.
Right.
It's, you know, I had a, you know, but, yeah. And I said, and he goes, and when you chose to go, you decided you needed to talk to Rosario
right,
first.
Right.
I go, and so you changed the rules on me.
Right.
If I would have
Which
known
he
that
always does.
With the, okay, I know.
Thank Sorry, you. Jill.
My mother, who is my memory.
Sorry,
you
Jill.
You are the boyfriend bad genealogist. Like, oh, Julie, let me go back to, you know, August of 2007.
Right.
And you remember when he did this to you? I'm like, no, I really don't. I go, don't worry, I do. You may forgive and forget. I don't have to. So I'm like, that's
you don't
good.
Have to remember because I do.
You do. It's in the book of Mama. And I'm like, okay, I understand. Oh, we had a discussion today, didn't we, about that a little bit? I just said, you know, I don't have to tell you everything. And then we decided, no, that's good that we tell each other everything. Because then we have a real intimate relationship with each other.
Right. It ups our intimacy quotient.
Yes.
I mean, you could keep everything superficial.
Right.
And so could I.
Right.
But this particular, the way we operate, it keeps us, has an intimacy quotient that I think we each enjoy.
For sure.
Well, and enjoy may not be the right word all the time.
Right.
But it works.
It works.
Yeah. It's lovely.
Yeah. I was witness to a relationship, a mother-daughter relationship that wasn't working yesterday at all. Mm-hmm. And it was fascinating to see because I was sitting next to one of Doug's family members and that family member, we'll call her, we'll say the letter D for no reason.
Just D.
D.
Okay.
And her daughter A.
D and her daughter A.
Yeah. Were there. And they don't have a relationship at all. I mean, mm-hmm. And in fact, her, you know, her daughter feels that her mom is always mad at her.
Mm-hmm.
And she's an adult woman now. She's 22, 21. Mm-hmm. And the mother thinks that her daughter is so unappreciative for all the years that she, you know, raised
right.
her and all this
oh,
stuff.
Oh, wow.
And I remember asking her one time, I said, okay, Dee, I can help you with this relationship if you let me. Because the one thing I know is I know how to have successful mother-daughter relationships. And it may not you and it may not be what the
and that's not an arrogant thing. I it's mean, not. It's like something that we do. I mean, we work at it.
And it wouldn't be. I mean, yes, you're a psychotherapist, so you do have training, and it may not be kosher to some of the rules of
the outside world.
Outside rules,
right?
Which I want to bring something up that we heard about Carolyn Miss, and I totally disagree with her.
Oh, okay, yeah.
First thing I said to her, because I really believe that everything stems with forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And I said to her, do you think you could forgive your daughter? I don't think there's anything to forgive.
No, we know that. We know that. Yeah.
I go, she's pretty much a nice
she's
girl.
A good kid.
Yeah, she's a good kid.
Yeah.
I go, but do you think you can forgive your daughter for everything you think she's done wrong to you?
For a clean slate.
To give yourself a clean slate with her. And she goes, I don't think so. I go, well, then I can't help you.
Because, after all this?
Oh, you can't? I go, not because forgiveness is the cornerstone of every relationship.
Right.
Because there's not one relationship that won't piss you off sometime.
And it's not a one-time dealio.
It's daily.
Yeah.
And they had to forgive you.
Yeah.
And you have to forgive yourself. I like to say, forgive
yourself for being stupid.
Forgive yourself for making decisions based on half information,
right?
You know, or like, wow, I thought the response I was going to get was going to be different than what I got,
right?
And that brings me to Carolyn Miss. We were listening to a radio show, WGN. We love Wendy and Bill,
mm-hmm.
And they were talking about, I guess, Huffington Post had an article on forgiveness. And the one thing that they said you should never say when you're
asking for
apologies,
yeah.
Not forgiveness, I guess apologies.
Yeah.
And the one thing that you should never do, is never say, I never meant to hurt you.
Right.
And it was Carolyn Miss.
Who's now, I mean, I've known her for decades.
Yes.
And now she's kind of the apology expert, which is interesting because she used to, in 20 years ago, she was a medical intuitive.
So here, Carolyn Miss, who they don't know,
they have no idea who she is.
They have no frame of who this person is.
Right.
But in her bio, in her little blurb, I guess she describes herself as a spiritual thought leader.
Mm-hmm. Which I would say true.
That would
true.
Be true. An
yeah.
author, something yes. else, and then a medical intuitive.
Right.
And, then Bill goes, please, someone describe me. I want to be said that. I want to be those three things. And I want to make money being those three things. I agree. Because sometimes I go, how can you make money being those three things?
Right.
I love your good friend, Marcia. I just love her. But, you know, she is a, she's done a lot of stuff. And she's got her master's degree also. Mm-hmm. But she's a spiritual thought leader. But she really is focusing right now on, like dying better.
Dying consciously.
Conscious dying.
Yes.
And you go, but also she does work with the afterlife and past lives.
Mm-hmm.
Through you too. Through you sometimes. But she has done a lot of past life work.
Right.
And so I'm always like, well, how in the world do you make money mm-hmm. working on past lives?
Well, you moved to Colorado.
Yes. And you find people who are really wanting to know about their past lives.
Yeah.
And they'll pay you money.
Well, yeah, I mean, there is a level of, you know, you have to be at least middle class.
Yes, you do.
To afford.
Oh, for sure.
You know, because it seems like a luxury.
Oh, for
to
sure.
To want to
yeah.
understand your past lives. And,
I totally agree.
Yeah, or understand the in-between worlds.
And if it's a benefit for you even to know this.
Right.
But anyway, getting back to Carolyn Miss. So she says, you should never say when you're apologizing, I never meant to hurt you. Because that might not be true or it doesn't do any really, really good value.
Mm-hmm.
And any value to the situation.
Right. And what were you going to say? You were going to disagree with her.
I totally disagreed with her. I totally disagreed with her. Because there are times, just in our relationship, there are times I will say something and it will elicit a response from you that I've hurt your feelings. And where I meant like, okay, nowhere when I'm saying this was it meant to even come mm-hmm. close
to being snarky.
To being snarky or mm-hmm. hurting your feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you know, really, I don't think I go, I need to apologize because what I'm saying is obviously not, the communication is going wonky. the energy I'm injecting out there, and then mm-hmm. what you're perceiving and interpreting, mm-hmm. interpreting.
I doubt it.
Interpreting. Hurt my feelings.
I'm sorry.
By saying the word, I doubt it.
I doubt it was interpreting, Julie. But
interpreting. And if you could see us right now, I'm looking at my mom, and she's like, she's got her eyes like, what?
Wait, what? Interpreting?
Figure it out. And
I go, it's a Julieism.
It's a Julieism. And I kept thinking, this does not sound totally right, but it doesn't sound totally wrong either. Okay, but anyway, I think it's okay to say, hey, I really never meant to hurt you.
Yeah.
And I think the only way that phrase doesn't work is if you got caught cheating on your spouse. Or stealing from
something that you know would really hurt a person.
Yes.
Right.
Because what you're saying is, I really didn't mean to hurt you because I was hoping I wouldn't get caught.
Right.
Because I was hoping I'd be, swift enough, not mm-hmm. to get caught.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that doesn't, but I think in most times you accidentally hurt someone's feeling because you just, mm-hmm. you're not conveying your message clearly enough.
I totally agree. Right. Especially with like me and you, because we're together a lot. You know, we have a business together and stuff like that. There are times where your energy and my energy is just in different hemispheres.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so we're trying to communicate. And so we bump up against maybe hurt feelings. But usually, in general, we know that neither of us would ever really want to, hurt each other. That's not the case, But there are times when, like, Normano and I have been together, and there have been times when I could actually truly say, I don't care if I hurt his feelings on that one.
You really want to hurt his feelings.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Well,
did I hurt your feelings, Norm?
Good.
did you really feel that? Because that's how I feel most of the time when I'm dealing with you. No. Julie said today, how's it going, Mom? I'm like, he's driving me crazy.
Well, and it's interesting because we really are taking a 5-year look at our life and where do we see ourselves in 5 years.
Right.
And we come up to this roadblock. When we go, we would like Normano to be completely out of trucking and home and working from home.
Right.
And then we go, oh, my God.
Norm, home, 24/7?
What are we going to do? What can we do? What's that? How's this going to be? What can we get him to really interested in?
Yeah, really.
So we're coming up with those roadblocks and figuring this out.
Yes.
And it's just fun to have these things come through.
Luckily, none of us take anything to heart. I mean,
because we
can say, "Hey, buddy, you're driving me crazy." Oh, okay, what do you want me to do? Yeah. Just leave the room.
Yeah,
just leave
the
room.
It's not your fault; it's mine.
It's not. Yeah, it really isn't.
Exactly.
We know it. It's like exactly what you're getting.
Well, and gratefully, because us three, none of us are intentionally cruel.
No,
but we're all trying to work our own stuff out.
Yeah,
you just gotta keep moving forward. Keep moving forward.
Oh, I love that words. Those words of wisdom, Julie.
Yeah, really.
Keep moving forward. Another thing.
Yeah, if you stop, the boogeyman will come and get you.
Yeah,
and you can never move. You'll be in quicksand, and then it all sucks, and then you get taken away. So just keep moving forward. They can't get you then. Nobody.
I just like this. Like it's just like a catch-all phrase.
Yeah.
When you're like totally effed up, keep moving forward.
Keep moving forward.
Just keep moving. But there's some real gems in that. There's real value.
Right.
Like in the Bible, it says, don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. Just keep looking straight ahead.
Yes.
And the truth is, how many times if you did look to the left, if you did look to the right, you'd have a huge distraction that would circumvent.
Every single time.
Yes, exactly.
Like I said, the shower was a huge distraction for this
week. Wasn't it?
And even today, you were asking me some questions about all the things I wanted to accomplish last week.
Yeah.
And I was like, please don't ask me these questions. Please don't ask me these questions. Because I was either in mode of cooking, baking, planning, or sleeping.
We did have some fun this week, though.
We did.
Can I say why?
Yeah, go
we
for it.
Created a Mad Lib for the party.
Yeah.
And, you think this is going to be easy?
It was not.
It wasn't. We probably put, over the course of the week, we might have put 6 or 7 hours in on it.
I don't care either. That was fun.
But it was, honestly, it was hysterical.
It was.
You know, we should put it someplace so that if anybody wanted to see it.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Because, yeah. Like, I thought about reading it because it's only 2 minutes long. Uh-huh. And you said no one's going to get it because no one knows the reference points right. of everybody's life. Yeah. But just a couple examples.
But can we get the last sentence or two?
Yes.
One was, because it was all about Hillary having her baby.
Right. And we told the story of the couple.
The couple that they met.
Yeah.
And it was funny because... Julie said, like, we had, like, and they became one of those couple
names, yes.
You know, like Brangelina or Bennifer. And they became, and we asked, what was Prince Charles's first wife's nickname?
Di.
We said Di. And then, of course, Hillary, Julie said, you get a choice. You can either say Hill or Aree.
Like a Hill or Aree.
And they went, Aree.
I go, yeah,
yes.
Good.
Okay. And then the last one is, what's a word that you say when you're stammering?
Yeah.
And they went,
Yeah.
And I go, so, yeah. So then we said, and they quickly became their union couple, their one word couple, Di-Aree-er.
It was
hysterical.
That was funny.
And then the last one,
I thought was excellent too, because it ended up being that the doctor, Dr. Johnson & Johnson tampon, you know, because we said a name of a brand of Walgreens. And then in a female's bathroom or whatever.
Something you might find in a female bathroom.
Yeah. And then
we said,
he said, oh, it ended up being his toe. His toe is coming out first. Oh, no, his arm is coming out first because it was a body part for the baby.
Yeah, we said a body part.
I go, I got to go in there and turn the baby around.
So Dr. Johnson Tampon screamed out, oh, my God, his arm is coming out first. I must insert my
toe
into
her grumpy Rock River.
Rock River.
and turn the baby around.
Yeah. And then, oh, but we also said... she was only wearing, what was it?
On the delivery table. She only wanted to wear her favorite mittens. From Ole Miss.
Ole Miss. And she screamed, yikes.
No, she screamed,
boo.
Boo. Yeah, boo.
Tally-ho.
Cheerio.
Oh, cheerio.
They said, we want a scary word plus a British saying. They said cheerio. And then...
And then a past president.
Yeah. And someone said George Bush. I'm like, fine, that works out perfectly.
So
and
she ended up saying, oh my God.
Yeah.
Yikes, or boo. Cheerio.
Cheerio. And she said,
That was a
pain in my George Bush.
Okay, it was a lot longer than this, but it was hysterical.
I thought it was the funniest thing ever. It was great.
We really felt like we were writing comedy.
Yes.
This week.
We did. But it was a distraction. And now I'm feeling the consequence of the distraction.
Yeah, distraction.
You know, because we're trying to stick to our word about everything,
yeah,
right? And I think some of the biggest problems people have is that they can't keep a promise to themselves.
No.
Because life gets in the way.
Right.
And that's okay, too. That's good, right? I was talking to...
I mean, it's okay because there's no condemnation.
Right.
But, you know, people who work for themselves don't have the luxury of saying, I don't want to.
They said the distraction is the biggest killer of entrepreneurs.
Right.
Not
I believe
literally.
That.
Figuratively.
No, their spouses.
Yeah, their spouses.
are the biggest killers of entrepreneurs.
Exactly. Speaking of entrepreneurs, just really quick, we're going to do two things. I got to state my claim about this.
All right.
And that is, you know, I just heard that the man who started Dollar Shave Club, whatever the hell it's called.
Dollar Shave Club.
I've always enjoyed his commercials.
I have too.
You know, started
his
company from a $1,000 loan from his parents.
From mommy and daddy.
Yep, $1,000.
Yeah.
And just now sold it to, I don't know who, for a...
$1 billion.
$1 billion.
$1 billion, mama.
$1 billion. And this is why we're all wanting to be online, because this is crazy.
Yes.
So that was very interesting.
That was interesting.
To say the least, you
know?
That
was interesting.
And I can't even say anything more to that. That was just interesting because I don't need $1 billion.
No.
But I just thought it was interesting. Yeah. That's all.
Are you going to play the lottery this week? It's like 400.
Oh, did nobody win yet? So, yes, I will.
It's like 484 million.
Yeah, sure. I don't even think about it unless it's over 400 million now.
No, they said a couple, 6 months ago, won like 600 million, and they just now declared their name. They're not having their pictures taken because it took them that long to set up trusts, put everything in line.
Yeah.
Because you cannot not be anonymous, I don't think, anymore.
Well, but, in some states, you don't have to be.
Oh, really?
In Illinois, you must stay your name.
Right. Another great thing for Illinois.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, but I we've talked about this several times, how we would do the money.
Yes.
And it's kind of fun talking about it. And also things get riled up inside of you. Like, well, wait a minute. That doesn't seem right. I'm like,
Julie always goes, I'm going to give Doug money. I go, you give him out of your share
because he ain't coming out of my share. And I'm like, and then we go, well, how should we give Gregory? I'm like, well, he definitely has to get more than all of us.
Right.
I mean, than Doug.
Right.
I go, and it's coming out of all of our shares.
That's
We're
right.
all going to give him
some.
That's
right.
So that he can live happy and joyous.
Happily ever after.
Yeah. So it always starts off with Doug.
Right.
Because, like, what do we decide we're giving Doug?
He's our benchmark, really.
Yeah. Because what we give him, like, well, we got to give Gregory, like, I don't know, 4 times as much, 5 times as much, you know? I mean, how do we play that? So it is funny how Doug's our benchmark.
That's exactly right. You know? And we also play every Thursday. Was it called Queen of Hearts? Or
yes, our local VHS.
VHS. Hello.
I don't know. What's it called?
Hello, Governor?
No.
VFW.
VFW.
Yes.
Veterans of Foreign Wars.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. VFW. Yeah.
It's so funny because they started out this is really recently, like probably within the last 6 months.
Yes.
Our VFW has this game called Queen of Hearts.
And it's sort of like a 50-50 contest.
Correct.
But it's more like a 70-30. So like a 70, and it's called Queen of Hearts.
Yeah. But here's the dealio, that in the first few months, it was so, so popular that when they call, at 7:30 on Thursday, they pull a thing out, you know, a drawing. And you had to be there to
win.
That
was the problem. You had to be there to get the full amount.
Correct.
But if you weren't there, you'd get like 50% of what you should get. So everybody had to be there.
But what's so interesting is that the fire marshals had to come and stop this.
Yes.
Because it was so crowded.
Yes.
That, and so now in these latter months, like it's probably like 4 months ago, that you just had to be at your phone.
Right.
When, you know, they would
and
call
my
you.
My phone has not been ringing.
Yeah. And so we, every Thursday we go and play, and it's up to about 180.
No, it was 210,000.
210,000.
Yeah. So it's kind of exciting.
Yeah, it is exciting.
And a third of it goes to basically, you know,
for charities.
Charities.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I think it's pretty smart.
Yeah.
You know, what a great way for them to make
money. And so
money.
It's fun. So once a week we get to play that. And then, of course, we get to play the big old lottery.
Yes.
But I'm sure that God can figure out other ways to bless us
100%.
Other than just winning
money. He already has. I've been.
Yes.
You're
my blessing.
I'll tell you one quick story, if that's okay. I know we're kind of running into Elliot's
Corner. Let's all go to the movies.
Okay, let's do you first.
Yes.
Do that. Go ahead, sing that.
Why?
Okay.
Let's all go to the movies.
Okay, now it's time for our movie going. Okay, girlfriend. I was going to tell you a different story.
Yeah, I want you to.
But no, we'll do your movies first.
Oh, should we? Okay, that sounds good.
Yes.
Okay, so we're doing, I promised everybody last week that I was going to review Dirty Grandpa.
Yes.
And so I wanted to do that.
Go for it.
Okay. I would say out of 4 Sherpa hats, I'm going to give it 2.5 to 3.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Why?
And one of the reasons is that it is exactly what you think it is.
There's
you're
nothing
not,
about that.
You're not, you know, you didn't get, like with Hail Caesar, I was so disappointed I didn't give it any Sherpa hats.
No, right.
It was bald-headed.
Yes.
Yeah. Disappointment from, you know, and also I felt betrayed.
Right.
Because it looked like a comedy from the things. Was
and
not.
There was no laughing.
No.
But let's say this about Normano laughs three or four times in that movie.
Yeah,
Hail Caesar.
You can't really.
Nope.
No, just because Normano laughs.
I was
laughs,
thinking you must be really trying hard to find something to laugh at.
Yeah, because he was the one that wanted the movie.
Yeah, Doug was at a ball game that day, and so I enjoyed my Friday nights with you guys.
That's right.
It was kind of fun.
You see what we do on Friday nights.
Yeah.
Great.
Ooh. Awesome.
So, but anyway, Dirty Grandpa, it is the only thing. I mean, it's gross, and it's got a lot of F words in it. Mm-hmm. I mean, more than usual F words. And I don't know, I don't understand how come, you know, this great actor, Robert De Niro, just ends
up. It almost sounded like Robert De Niro. Venereal disease. Robert De Niro. Ooh, I caught that. I didn't like that. I needed a shot for that,
that
one.
That hurt.
That little Robert De Niro. That was a painful thing. Robert De Niro, yes.
But you know, the great Robert De Niro. Yeah. And did I say it again? Did I try?
No,
De Niro?
You did.
Okay. But, you know, I mean, you look at this guy. I mean, the Godfather. And,
right.
And, you know, Goodfellas.
Raging
I mean,
Bull.
All these, you know, Deer Hunter. I mean, just these amazing movies.
The Faulkners. The Faulkers.
But again, in this, it is similar to the Faulkers.
Yeah.
In the sense that he's this kind of guy, but he has this like superhero past. I mean,
okay.
He was this spy or whatever. I mean,
no way.
So they, you know, and because he comes off as this really, you know, gross,
right?
You know, weird man,
right.
You know. So it's interesting having to see him play these kind of really dumbed down roles,
right?
You know, being De Niro, you know?
Right?
But it is exactly what it think. It's gross. Mm-hmm. It's like lots of cuss words. But having come off of Hail Caesar, I want to say kudos.
Yes.
Because it was exactly what you said it was going to be.
Was it under an hour? Was it about an hour and a half long?
Yeah, it was right in there.
That's one of your criteria.
Yeah. And, you know, there was a lot of, I would not let a kid see it for sure, because there was a lot of awkward things that even I felt a little like, wow, that's De Niro doing that. It's kind of weird, you know, but. Oh, well. I did hear one time, though, that he lives in, like, Tribeca, and he's, like, a big wig in Tribeca, and he funds a lot of projects.
Right.
And
so
he takes these movies because they actually fund the projects that he's all about. So, amen to that.
Amen to that.
Yeah, you know.
And, you know,
there's a couple of dirty grandpas that can feed some homeless kids.
Right.
Maybe. I'm
or
okay.
Or some kids acting that would, you know, whether it would be doing drugs.
Right.
Or really, actors typically do drugs.
Blow off a stripper's ass.
Yeah, thank God, right, for Robert De Niro.
Yeah.
Or maybe he keeps those kids in money so that they can't do
that.
They
can do blow off a stripper's ass.
No, but I appreciate that, because one thing about Robert De Niro is that he keeps staying in the game no matter what he looks like.
Right.
And some people are afraid to let the screen or the camera see them age.
Right.
Like, I can't let them see me age.
No, and also.
But he just, I'm aging. What am I going to do?
He's doing that. And also, who's the girl? Meryl Streep.
Yeah.
She's aging.
Yeah.
Nicely in front of the cameras.
Yes. And it's like, and I want to see that.
Yeah, because these are actors.
Okay. But let's just go back to Meryl Streep real quick. She is aging beautifully, no doubt about it. But that Mamma Mia movie kept messing with my brain, because I couldn't figure out the math.
Was that
either.
You? Is that your problem? Yeah,
I mean,
me
because
too.
First of all, I loved that movie.
Yeah, I did too.
I even thought the bad singing was great.
Yes.
You know, but I thought she was excellent, but her daughter literally was 22, 23 years old.
Right.
And supposedly she had her when she was barely 20.
Yeah.
And that meant Meryl Streep was 43 or 41 or 40. I don't even know.
Yeah, it was tough. Yeah.
I'm like, come on.
That's a little tough.
40?
Yeah.
That's not.
You got to make us buy the math a little bit.
Exactly.
Yeah, I know.
Exactly. But moving on.
So that was my.
Two and a half, three Sherpas.
Two and a half to three Sherpa hats.
Cool. I'm there for that.
Because we are your guide up that mountain of older movies that have already come
out, not yet,
in Redbox.
Yeah, not yet on HBO, but not just going to the theater.
You know, speaking of Redbox,
yeah,
you know, remember we talked about Joey, our Joey last week, who He came from Mississippi with Quinn, and he was supposed to be doing some yard work for us.
Yeah, Quinn went to college for 4 years, and also came back with a Joey.
She came back with a Joey.
She didn't get a degree yet. She's still finishing up her last class online.
and about $100,000 in debt.
Yes. Oh, for heaven's sakes.
But so we were talking last week about how we were like, hey, Joey, we got some yard work for you to do. This is great. You don't have a job. And he literally only came over the course of 3 weeks, he maybe came twice and stayed a couple hours. And during those couple hours, he took mucho cigarette breaks, mucho.
Right.
You know, and so we were joking that he needed to be, he'd have a chair inside a red box, and he was the guy that.
Yes, he'd be the perfect guy to be able to smoke and put the
movies back when you return.
But he found his ideal job. Yes.
He got a job this week, and as it turned out, he Snapchatted us a picture of his ideal job, and he got a job at a vapor shop.
Yep. So
he's a manager, something like that. Mm-hmm. And so he Snapchatted us this week, and he was smoking.
Yep.
And he was playing pool and doing video games.
And getting paid for it. I'm like, thank you, Lord Jesus.
He got his job.
Matched with the perfect job.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing like, when we were growing up, you didn't like try and find a job that matched you.
Right.
Like, you were just like, go to work, get a job.
Yes.
I don't care if you can do this.
Well, it is interesting to think about getting a job that's just right for you.
Yeah.
And then you're going, I can do that? Yeah. I mean, but heck, he got it.
Yeah. And he even got Doug to buy him a new wardrobe.
Yes, I got to buy him a new wardrobe because he has to wear a tie to work at the vape shop because it's such a classy act, classy place.
Isn't it called like Sinbad?
Yeah, Sinbad.
Sinbad, yes. Vape shop.
Yes. And it's a nice facility. I've been inside.
Yes, Julie.
I don't vape, but I don't smoke either, but I don't vape. But I went inside because when he was here last time, he was wanted to show me what a vape shop was all about. I'm like, oh, sure, I'll go with the kid. Mm-hmm. And it was just so funny. You know, it's just so funny. And it's perfect for him. But so Doug had to buy him a new wardrobe. And he wanted to buy a vest, but he couldn't find a vest. And I'm like, thank God.
Because that would have been the look, right?
Yeah, that would have been the look.
The tie, the vest, cigarette smoking, pool playing, video games.
Getting paid.
And I'm sure he's still probably playing Pokemon.
Sure.
Pokemon Go.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm trying to right now, though, think about how I can talk about Pokemon during Animal Talk.
So we can do that. Yeah, I can figure it out.
I know why. Yeah, exactly. So, all right. So anyway, let's move on, though.
Should we go to Elliot's Corner?
Elliot's Corner. I once had a dog, or should I say he once had me. Welcome to Elliot's Corner.
There I was. There was you with your ukulele and your exactly. sweet little voice.
Okay, so we have a lot to talk about with Elliot's Corner now that I'm going to talk about Pokemon Go. And how am I turning this into Elliot's Corner? Because
you've got to have some kind of an animal.
Yeah, you go and capture animals.
Oh.
On your Pokemon thing.
Right.
And I just want to say that I'm enjoying Pokemon Go, and I'm not enjoying Pokemon Go. I'm kind of over it.
I'm over it.
But Doug is infatuated.
Doug is infatuated, yeah.
And he's determined to beat everybody around him.
Yeah.
And consequently, he is doing this while driving sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I just said, please don't kill anybody. Just kill yourself.
Yeah, he's like, you know, he's Ubering during the day.
Yes.
And so he's got his fares.
Yeah.
And he's Pokemon during a fair.
When he's waiting. I don't know how it's all going down.
Yeah.
But it's very interesting.
I think it's so July 9th.
There you go.
Yeah.
It is so July 9th. Oh, you're so
I'm
cool,
over
Mom.
It.
You're...
When I ended up, it was 10:30 at night in a cemetery.
Yes.
That was too scary.
Yes. We tried it for one night. It was kind of exciting. And then I'm just over it. And I was going to really, there was really a story that I wanted to share with everybody about Pokemon.
Was it about the fishing? Was that it? In the middle of the lake?
That was kind of cool because I was able to put my Pokemon. They asked me if they could look at my camera. And I said, sure, why not? I know. And so when I capture these animals, I see the outside world. Like, right. I see what I'm seeing, right. not a fake screen. And so when I went on my day trip with Doug last week, mm-hmm. We ended up at a forest preserve with a lake, and I was catching a fish, and the fish was actually in the lake.
Yeah.
And so I took a picture of my screenshot,
right.
which I thought was kind of cute. But what happened was I had somehow covered my finger with the... it's really on my finger, the fish is. So that was a little disappointing. But it's been interesting having Pokemon, and so I'm kind of over it, too.
I saw that two boys Pokemoned off a cliff and had to be rescued.
Yes, I read today that someone crossed into the United States from Canada because they were Pokemoning.
Oh, and I saw that a guy got stuck up a tree and they had to get rescued, just like a kitty cat.
Because there was one up there?
Because it was Pokemoning up a tree.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
Exactly.
So, I don't know what to say about it, to be honest with you.
Let's let it go.
Let it go.
I can talk about some monkeys.
Please do.
I think I heard today that, because we talked about those two monkey brothers.
Yeah.
And how they were fighting and the mama couldn't make them stop. So she woke up grandma and grandma came over and stopped it. So I'm fascinated now with monkey behavior. And I heard that there were three things that I heard. Okay. You know, you think that a monkey could be smiling at you.
Right.
And if they're showing you their teeth, they are. That does not mean that they're smiling and they're happy. It's an aggressive sign.
Okay.
So, number one.
Takeaway
number one. If you see a monkey
smiling at you
and he's smiling, don't
do
go
not.
There.
Yeah. Do not it's assume.
Do not, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's, didn't,
okay.
It's so aggressive.
They're very contrarian in some sense.
Yes.
Okay.
And there was a number two. Hold on a second. If a monkey is yawning at you.
Okay.
You would think, oh, cute monkey.
Yawning.
Tired.
Yeah.
No. Another form of aggression. Seriously.
What's it about, though?
I don't know.
So, I'm yawning to see if you're going to do something?
Yeah. Or I'm just, look at me. Don't be afraid of me. I'm just yawning.
I'm just yawning.
Yeah. I'm just tired.
Look, I'm tired. I'm a cute little monkey.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I'm grateful
to
live in Illinois because we don't have monkeys around here.
Right.
I'm pretty grateful about that. I'm pretty grateful that the animals that we have in this area, I mean, I am afraid of bears. And I'm afraid of cougars.
Yeah. And we have both of those.
We have both of those within 20, they have been seen within 20 miles of our home.
Right.
Cougars and bears.
And bears.
So that has heightened my, okay, I just want to say this right now.
Mm-hmm.
And this is when you realize the world can change for the better or ecosystems can heal themselves in some sense.
Oh, okay.
Because back in the day, we didn't have eagles. We didn't have pelicans.
Now we do.
An abundance of eagles.
And bald ones.
Yes. And pelicans. Bobby. Is there a Bobby Baldwin?
Adam.
Adam Baldwin. William Baldwin. Yeah. Billy Baldwin.
Billy Baldwin.
That's it.
That's it.
What's that one that's...
This is a weird one. Or the one
all,
that... Yeah, really.
I can't go there. Yeah. But yes, the Baldwins. The Baldwin Eagles. And then now we have, bears and cougars coming in.
Right.
To claim their part of the territory.
Right.
So I find it very interesting.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to tell you, too, though, there was a third thing.
Yeah.
So it's the smiling monkeys and it's the yawning monkeys. And if they're flinging feces.
Yeah.
Not a good sign. They're upset with you as well.
Okay, now, I have to tell you that.
So if you see...
That's not contrarian.
A smiling, yawning, feces-flinging monkey.
Run!
Run for the hills!
Run for the hills.
Yeah.
That monkey is...
He's pissed.
Can
he's
you pissed. Imagine, though? Can you imagine anybody flinging feces at you?
Hey, Jules, what was it... We have coyotes here,
yes.
too. Just really very, very close to our home.
Yes.
And one night this week, you probably don't remember this, but me and you and Dad, we started singing. What was the song we started singing? It was like 10 o'clock
feels
at night.
Feels like the first time.
Are
was
you
that,
sure?
It was a Foreigner song.
Was it
No, I want to know what love is.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I want you to show
and,
me.
We sang it for about 20 seconds,
yes.
and literally I heard howling
all the howling of
outside.
The coyotes.
And I said, we have to stop. The coyotes are
They're
howling.
They're going to be all around our house.
No.
They're gathering.
But it was,
especially was the chorus. It was, I want to know what love is.
I want you to show me. And we were belting it out like crazy.
Yeah, we were.
And they were like, the coyotes were like, I don't know if that was, so mom, what would you say? Would that be a good thing that they're howling or a bad thing? Would that be were they critics at that point?
Oh, maybe they were. Maybe they were trying to do a Sherpa hat.
Exactly. like one or two Sherpa. Whoa. What the hell was that? They thought what's dying
that was
over there?
Foreigner?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
You know what, coyotes? Yeah. There's no room in my life for more critics.
Yeah, exactly.
I've got plenty of those in my life. We're done with those critics. So you ready for a little pillar talk?
Pillar talk.
Pillow talk. All righty then. There is Doris Day doing pillow talk and our pillar talk. Anyway.
And we don't even go there anymore because pillow and pillar are
they're different.
Yeah, they're different, but they're
Doris
the same.
Day. Exactly. Yeah. And so we want to talk about a couple different things in our pillar talk. And we're going to continue talking about the gap.
Because you know what? It's that important.
It is.
I needed it this week. I got into the D zone. Mm-hmm. The D zone. The depressed zone. Because I was in the gap.
Yeah.
And I
can't. Disappointed zone.
Oh, disappointed.
Yeah. Zone.
Yeah.
The
I'm working on that fragrance, by the way.
Debilitary.
It's going to be for Christmas.
Oh, is it?
The disappointment.
Yes. Yeah,
that's going to be my favorite fragrance.
What do you think because packaging is 100% it in cologne.
That's true.
Well, first of all, what would it smell like?
What does disappointment smell like? Sweat.
Sweat.
Tears. Blood, sweat, and tears.
With no bang. With no payoff.
Yeah, exactly.
So basically what it is, it's almost like the bottle will be filled all the way to the brim, but your thing doesn't work. So nothing comes out. Like, I'm so disappointed. Or it comes out and it doesn't smell like anything.
Yeah.
I'm disappointed. Yeah.
Or it smells like something you didn't want it to smell like.
That's really disappointing.
Monkey feces.
Ugh, that'd not be good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ever see that one video where the monkey picks his butt and then smells his finger
and passes out? It's a keeper.
Yeah.
I mean, I can see that every moment of my day.
I'm sure that's what my perfume will smell.
Your perfume goes.
It could be like monkey pheromones.
But see, here's the thing, though. In some ways, it shouldn't match what the... Because, you know what I'm saying?
I get it.
Because if you're if it's an awful smell, like, I'm kind of expecting that. I'm not disappointed with it.
Yeah.
I got exactly what I wanted.
Yeah.
It has to up its
disappointment.
Kind
of like Hail Caesar versus Dirty Grandpa.
Yes. Exactly. So,
you know what? You're pretty smart, girlfriend.
I try. So think about that a little more.
It's so funny. You just are now getting in your master's degree program. Already, I can tell.
Already, I'm
you're
smarter.
You're smarter.
Just by filling out the application and then saying, yes, you're approved. Awesome.
Give me the money.
Exactly. But anyway, so living in the gap is so important and mastering the gap is so important because it is a spot between the invisible and the visible.
True.
And that's where most of us are all the time because we have these goals or desires in our life that can't be quickly manifested.
Mm-hmm.
They require new skills. They require long-term plans.
Yeah. Because even if you had the money to just acquire them easily, that's no guarantee that you're going to keep them because a lot of people lose the stuff that they have because they haven't ripened or matured enough
to keep it. Exactly. I mean, that's why they always say people who've won like small amounts of money, it's usually gone in a heartbeat because they don't have what it takes to keep it and make it grow.
And make it grow.
And so forth. And that's the thing that would be about being on a diet. There are times when you can quickly hold it together, but you're not developing the skills and the habits for lifelong changes.
Right.
And then I just hit my microphone, so I'm sorry. I think I just made a loud noise. Apologized. I didn't mean to hurt you. I didn't mean to hurt your ears.
Yeah, you did.
but when you're living in the gap and you are aligned, you're being the person you need to be to have and keep the end goal, and yet you don't see it manifested, it can be painful.
Yes.
And you could easily lose track of where you're going, and you could easily say, well, it must not be working. And you then, all of a sudden, if you release that tension or you kind of let yourself look to the left, look to the right, that's a surefire way to get off course and go backwards.
Yes.
I mean, what happens when you keep looking to the left? you keep going around in circles. Mm-hmm. So it just keeps, I just thought of that right now. I thought that was pretty impressive. Do you think it was impressive?
It's pretty good. I think it would be profound. If you keep going to the left, you go around in circles. Can I write that in my Facebook post this week?
Please do. I wish you would. That made me feel good.
Go to the left. Go to the left again.
Go to the left again. And one more time.
One more time. And hey, guess what?
You're back where you started. And so you got to keep focusing on where you're heading.
Right.
And knowing that you are developing new skills, new habits, because really you are your habits.
Yeah.
And we may, you know, you have habits now, and your habits have gotten you where you're at.
For better or for worse.
Yeah. And now it's like plusing your habits, yes. Getting them there.
Right.
And how do you live in that gap successfully?
And really, this is where I always say, I used to go like, well, this obviously isn't for me.
Right.
Because otherwise,
it'd be a lot easier.
It'd be a lot easier. And this is too hard. No, that's not true.
No. And we learn how to, and I think in the Clutterfly Effect, we talk a little bit about living in the gap as well.
Right.
Or really developing those habits and skills. You need to not just get successful, but stay successful.
That's exactly right.
And it's all about expansion, because mm-hmm. we will always be living in the gap, because there's always more we want to do.
Yeah.
For the most part, I mean, right. You said to me the other day that, Julie, I don't think everybody thinks the way we think about expansion.
Right. I believe that. Or do you not?
I think so. But there are some people who just say, I just want to be status quo.
Right. Right. Or I'm okay where this is. That's all I can take.
The problem that I see is there is no staying still.
Yeah.
Because things degrade when you stay still.
100%.
You have to keep upping your ante just to maintain.
Just to maintain.
I mean, there must be a word besides inflation for that.
Yeah.
You know, right. But inflation and what you need to do to keep your buy the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know, inflation for what your money has to do. I mean, you have to expand just to stay the same.
I know.
Or you lose ground.
Right.
And so living in that expansion mode, but not seeing the results yet, but having that faith and hope. You talk about being anchored to hope.
Right.
And what that means to you. And at any given moment, it's meaning that I know that this is meant for me.
Right.
And I'm going to get there. I'm going to look to the left, look to the right. I'm going to look straight ahead.
Right.
Because there's always stuff happening to the left and to the right.
Well, it's like with our business. I mean, we have a definite date that we want to say, hey, everybody, you know, it hasn't been easy.
No. And life has been a distraction.
But we have said we're going to do this.
Yes. And we've kind of had to push it back a week or two here and there. But that's okay.
Because
we're going to get there.
Yeah, it's okay.
But we're going to get there. Yeah. But I do know this. I'm almost thinking like there's a shower date. You know, the shower had everything for the shower had to get done.
Right.
For Hillary's shower. It had to get done because it's going to happen at this time.
Right.
You know, that's what's going on for us. We've got a date and everything is going to be done because it has to.
It has to be.
Because it's going
to
start that date.
Right.
And we're looking forward to it. We're very excited about those things that are coming out.
And we're looking forward to it. And we also I have old feelings come up.
Yes.
Which is like, you know.
This again. No, yeah. It's so hard again. Things are not going smoothly.
Yeah. And I'm not saying I'm there. I'm like that 100%.
No, of course not.
But I bump into those.
Right.
D'Antoni feelings.
Right. So we suggest that during this week. Yeah. I have no problem calling him that. But I want to suggest that during this week, when you find yourself backsliding, even in your emotional state.
Right.
Because you're judging your progress.
Right.
Know that progress is progress, no matter what it is. And if you keep looking towards where you want to go, mm-hmm. the mark, you're going to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to get there faster and faster and faster. And there will be days or weeks where you'll think nothing's moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
And
which
then you'll have
been.
A jump forward.
Right. That's exactly
and
true.
And you're like, whoa, I didn't realize that. And if you stop short, you would never have experienced that jump forward.
Right.
So keep up the faith. Keep mm-hmm. up the hope. You can get there from here.
And I think one of my, one of the Facebook quotes that I wrote was that the skills that you need at the bottom of the mountain are not the skills that you need at the top of the mountain or the middle of the mountain.
No.
And so as you keep acquiring new skills, more grit,
yes,
the gap tends to become a little bit easier.
Right.
You have a better understanding of it.
And what really happens during this gap is that the things that are part of the past must go away for the next level.
They must. You must. You what did we call it? Unloading things.
Well, we called it like on being on a ship. And you said you got to keep unloading the unwanted baggage so that until the ship can float.
As a sinking ship.
They say, throw everything off the ship that doesn't belong or that's extra stuff.
Exactly.
And then the ship will eventually float.
Right.
And that's what kind of you have to do. I got to keep going, okay, what can I get rid of now that's not that's taking away time that needs to be spent on this?
Right.
And then before you know it, you really are in alignment and hopefully enjoying the process because life needs to be enjoyed.
Mm-hmm.
Before we go, we get about just 2 more minutes. Mm-hmm. I would like to talk really quickly about it'd be good to be kind.
Oh, yeah.
Then right.
Right. Would you rather be kind?
Dr. Wayne Dyer's books, he talked about the 4 cardinal virtues.
Right.
And one of them, I believe, was better be kind
than right.
Right. Yeah. Because so many times we dig our heels in, I know I'm right, regardless of the consequence to other things out there.
Right.
And the truth is, a lot of times when we think we're really right, we really aren't. Or there are lots of different answers.
Right.
And who the F cares?
Mm-hmm.
Who the F cares?
But you see a lot of people out there that have to be right.
And I am not one of those people.
No, thank God you're not. And no. I mostly not every once in a while, Normana will get me, and I'm like,
I need to be right in this.
Yeah.
And you need to be wrong. And just take one for the F team. We get those.
So I'd rather be kind than right. Unless I'm taking one for the team.
Right, and then I'm going to take one. So what if we all just decide today to be kind instead of having to be right?
Right.
When those moments come up when we're in an argument that really can't be won without consequence.
And here's the thing, too. Like, I get tired of people saying, I'm being the bigger person. Oh. If you're saying that to that person, you're not the bigger person.
No.
So there's 2 things, you know. You can shut up and be the bigger person and be kind rather than right.
Right.
That's the good thing.
Yeah. Well, you're not being the big person. You're being just a little bigger person. You know, I mean, and what were you before? A shithead? Now I'm choosing to be the bigger person because I was a complete ass before. And now I'm definitely the bigger person. Bigger than what, honey? You know?
Exactly.
I don't get it either. We're like forcing ourselves to say, look at me, I'm so much better than you.
Yeah. I don't know what happened.
I don't know.
Is it the millennials?
No, I think
is it the selfie generation?
I think we all have this problem.
Yeah,
that we just are crazy.
Well, that's good to know. Pillar talk.
All right, everyone. This has been a fun show for me, and has it been
for you? For me too.
Yeah,
it was great.
It was great. It was great. It was great. It was great. It was great.